What a wonderful theme for the camp, staying focused. And I've been looking at Noel through the camera there and recording that story, and he said, don't get up too close because it won't keep its focus. Isn't that a good word for today? We want to keep our focus. But what are we keeping our focus on? For many people, it would be different things. Some people are focused on the pretty girl or the handsome guy. Some people are focused on how long is lunch. But today we are focused on our Heavenly Father, and Noel set the theme for today's story about the forgiveness of the Lord in our life. And I've had a young man come to me today and say, when you do the recordings today, I want to tell my story about how I got saved. Isn't that good? Amen. It's one boy we know here. He's waving his hand there, aren't you? You're waving your hand to say he's so thrilled to be able to tell his story about how he got saved. Now, for some of you who weren't here last night, I'd just like to say again, what a wonderful, special day this is for me. Do you remember why? Because 50 years ago, can you believe that? 50 years ago, I got saved as a teenager through the ministry, well, of course, the Lord's ministry, but through the ministry of one of the greatest evangelists who ever set foot in New Zealand. And his name was?
Billy Graham.
Wasn't that something? I mean, that was the beginning of the focus of my life, because Billy Graham came to New Zealand exactly on Thursday this week, and he had a huge rally in Kailua Park in downtown Auckland, where I went as a teenager and some of my friends went. And at that time, I had two braces on my legs, which I still have, and little underarm crutches. And for some reason, I don't know why, but we settled right at the back of the stadium. So when the altar call came, I thought, how am I going to get down there? To this day, I don't know how I got down there, but before I knew it, I was down the front crying and asking the Lord to come into my life. And at that point, several things began to focus in my life. That a call came to my life. A call of my life was to love the Japanese people, love the nation of Japan. And I have to tell you a little bit about why. My father was a soldier in the Royal Australian Air Force in Australia, and he was fighting in Papua New Guinea, just called New Guinea then, against Japanese. So as a child, I grew up knowing my father had a hatred towards the Japanese people. And I can't judge him. I don't know why there are many people. I didn't live through the war. I don't know. But I grew up knowing that there was a hatred there. But you know, at that Billy Graham meeting, when I got saved, along came the call to go to Japan. And I remember thinking, when Billy Graham was speaking, it was like his voice here was speaking over how many thousand people were there, I wonder. 30,000 people were there, and he was speaking to me right at the back. And how could he see me right at the back, directly speaking to me, to come forward with my little crutches down all those stairs and with all those people to be saved and to put a call on my life to go to Japan? And those two things became very focused in my life. And Noel and our daughter went to Japan, and we were there for 25 years. That's not the story that I'm going to tell you today, but we went to Japan for 25 years, and you think, oh, I'm not even 25 years old. That's what you're thinking now. You're thinking, you know, I wasn't even born 25 years ago. But, you know, even away back then, God put a call and a destiny. So I want to say to you today, be open for a call on your life or for your destiny. You know, how you might be thinking, how could God use you? How can he not use you? How can he not use you? If you love him, you're focused on him, how is he not going to use you? There's more chance that he's going to use you. That's all there is about it. And today we're going to talk about focus, staying focused. Now, actually, the word focus isn't a Bible word. I can't find it in the Bible anyway. But you might recognize the word steadfast. Holding firm. And so I'm going to be using this scripture today. For we are made partakers of Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. So the focus of your life is from the beginning to the end, from salvation to death, when death is eternity. Partakers means, it's an old-fashioned word, and so is steadfast, but partakers mean that we are partners, we are associates, we're comrades, we're companions, and the good Bible word, we are disciples, we are followers of Christ. And that is our focus. If we do nothing else in our life but decide to follow and be partakers of Christ from the beginning to the end, we have done well. Now, recently, because I'm so old, I had to have my eyes tested and to get new glasses. And the doctor does all sorts of things. Who's had your eyes tested? And, you know, he puts this in and that is, how's the focus? Can you see? No, I can't see. The focus isn't good. And he does all those things. And sometimes it's fuzzy. And sometimes it's not so clear, and sometimes it's very sharp. And this is what the focus of our spiritual life can be. Sometimes we're very blurry. Sometimes we are not exactly in focus for the Lord. And, you know, sometimes our life gets very flat. Not for you, maybe, because you're always, you know, up there and you're on fire for the Lord. But how many, even among the Bible school students, how many times do you think, oh, no, not classes again today. Oh, not prayer again today. You know, I mean, there's just that flat little boring thing that goes on and we lose our focus. We lose our sharpness. We get a little fuzzy. We get a little dull, a little blurry-eyed, and we think I didn't sleep well last night. So we're going to talk a little bit about the things that can make our life a little cloudy or a little fuzzy. Not just our natural life, when we haven't had a good night's sleep, but in our spiritual life. We're thinking about our spiritual life staying sharp and in focus. And one of the things I want to talk about that can stop our spirit being sharp and in focus is toxic noise. What does that mean? Toxic noise. Amanda has an answer. She has an answer for quite a few things. We just love Amanda. Anybody know what toxic noise is? Is it a good noise? Not good noise. And this can be noise that comes into our ears, but it can be noise that comes into our spirit. And noise that can separate us from hearing God's word and keeping close to Him is toxic noise. And this can desensitize us from the Spirit of the Lord speaking to us. Now, the noise can be external, out here, traffic noise, radio, TV noise, work at school, noise at school and at work, and, you know, even church music. In our church, we have a little machine inside our door that you put a coin in and it pops out little yellow earplugs. You know, I always thought we went to church to hear from God. And here we have little yellow earplugs that stop us hearing from God. Isn't that interesting? Okay. We can also have internal noise. Wonder what that internal noise sounds like. I'm no good. I'm useless. How can God use me today? Our thoughts go round and round and round. Conversation we repeat on our head, but like Joseph in prison, thinking, how could my brothers do that to me? How could Potiphar's wife do that to me? All sorts of self-pitying and things that go, toxic noise coming into us. And that blocks out the word of God. It desensitizes us. But you know, even in the middle of the night when all is quiet, maybe it wasn't quiet here last night, but in the middle of the night when it was quiet, you can still have toxic noise going round and round in your mind. How many have woken up in the middle of the night and thought, just can't get back to sleep again, there's stuff going round and round and round and round. There was one man a long, long time ago called Brother Lawrence. Anybody read the book of Brother Lawrence? Do you you guys read it at Bible school? Any of you students? Somebody's got their hand up. Brother Lawrence lived about 300 years ago, a long time ago, and he was a monk. He lived in a monastery. It's a special place set aside for monks and priests. And their devotion, that particular monastery, was devoted to meditation and prayer. Some of the monks had little cells where they could stay and be quiet all day. I wonder if they took some of the toxic noise with them in their head. But that was their duty, to pray all their life. That was their call. That was the focus of their life. From every breathing minute was to be dedicated to prayer. But poor old Brother Lawrence, who knows what his call was? He was called to the kitchen. Out in the kitchen was Brother Lawrence, year after year after year. He lived in the kitchen, banging the pots, chopping up the vegetables, putting out the rubbish, the shouting and the yelling. It had nothing on those cooking programs you see on TV and all the shouting and abuse that goes on. I mean, Brother Lawrence lived in that sort of environment. Now, somehow Brother Lawrence was able to practice the presence of God in the middle of all that pots and pans noise. And he's written a book, I haven't read it, it's rather a difficult book to read from what I understand, but you know, he stayed steadfast, he stayed focused for 77 years in the kitchen. Other monks, other priests stayed in their little cell quiet and serene and calm, but his job was to practice the presence of the Lord in the kitchen. Now, how did he do this? He would talk to himself. He would talk to God. But the most focused thing of his life was, all I do is done for the glory of God. Over and over, bang the pots, glory of God, chop the vegetables, glory of God. It was the focus of his life to focus on just giving glory to God. More than 50 years, 77 years he lived. Now you will find ways that shut down the toxic noise in your mind. I don't know how you do it, but for me, one of the most important ways for me is to shut down the toxic noise, is to be thankful. Just to say, Lord, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for the green trees. Thank you for the pukekos down out here in the mist down here this morning. Thank you, Lord, for my family. Thank you for all my friends here today. And you know, you're getting your focus off the noise. You're getting your focus off all your worries for just brief snatches of the day. Mightn't be all day, it might just be little snatches of the day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful. So we can swing from toxic noise to quietness and quietness of spirit. You know, I think I told you last night that I do a radio broadcast on community radio called Talking Up Disability, and I use the word, it's talk, talk, talk. That's what it's all about. You can't have radio without talking. If you have a silent time on radio, they turn you off. They don't want dead air. They want talk, talk, high power all the time. And so how do you find those little pieces of quietness in the middle of talking? Now, you find your own ways of doing it. I don't know how to do it, except to say that being thankful is one of the ways. You know, stress and worry and fear will put these things going round and round and round in your mind. But why not today just take a little time out? Just say, Lord, I want to focus on you. What is the thing that's going to work in my spirit? Some people find singing in tongues, speaking in tongues. You'll find a way of saying. So we have the opposite of toxic noise is quietness and silence, and I don't mean just silence from noise. I mean a silence inside. Do you know what I mean? Am I talking something you're not following? It's a quietness inside that settles you down. You know? Somebody knows? Good. I'm glad one person knows. You know, when you're trying to pray, when you're trying to focus, You know, I go into the lounge room, which is a nice big room, and we don't use it for anything else but just for visitors. And I go in there and I think, oh, it's nice and quiet in here. We have double glazed windows. I can't hear a whole lot of noise. But, you know, I carry noises in with me. I thought I left them in the kitchen or some other place, but they come in with me. And I think, I wonder if that's the cat making a noise and wants to come in. I better go and check on that. Can't settle down and keep quiet. And then I'm trying to focus, and then I hear, bing! Oh, somebody sent me an email. I can't concentrate. I've got to go in there and find out who sent me the email. It's so hard to concentrate and get rid of that toxic noise. Anyway, all I can say, Lord, can you come to me and tell me again and again what you've just said? I wasn't listening, I was distracted, but Lord, come again and tell me, keep my focus on you. There's an interesting verse in Isaiah 32, verse 17. The work of righteousness will be peace, and the service of righteousness, quietness and confidence forever. Talks about peace, quietness and confidence forever, but it also uses the word the work of righteousness. It doesn't mean you're sitting around doing nothing. You carry the quietness with you even when you're working. The work of righteousness, the service of righteousness, will produce quietness and confidence forever. Another verse says, my soul, wait in silence before God only. My hope is in him. You know, in our house, we're only two people. We have a daughter and we have grandsons. But in most of the time, there's only two people in our house and a cat. But Noel is a fairly noisy person. He doesn't sound like he's noisy, but, you know, he does a lot of editing. The videos are going all day, there's editing going on, the TV's up loud, and even now I've got a power wheelchair. You know, it clicks on and off and it goes like this and make noises, and I bash around a bit in the house. And I'm quite sensitive to noise. I've been known to even get the alarm clock and wrap it up in socks and hide it in the drawer. I can't stand ticking. So the most common thing that you hear in our house is, turn the noise down! Turn the noise down. That's the commonest. Before I ring the noise police, good Manda, that's a good one. Sometimes I try to read the paper and read at the same time and watch TV and talk at the same time. Can't do it. Turn the noise down. So what's my challenge today is turn the noise down. Just want to leave you with one little story because I know we're going to be wanting to get ready for lunch because that's where our focus is getting slowly over there. But as I said, we're two people and a cat. And our cat tries to talk. We understand it's talking after 10 or 11 years. But you know I understand her body language very well. And what's more, she watches me like a hawk or like a cat. She knows if the wheelchair turns that way, that means kitchen. If it turns that way, that means refrigerator. She sits on the edge of the, just there by the counter so I don't run over her. And she's watching and, you know, her focus is so direct. She is so focused that before the plate even hits the floor, she's on the spot. She is so focused, so in tune with every movement and every noise. And so that's what I want to leave that with us today, is can we be so attuned to the Lord? Can we be so sensitive to the face of the Lord? And wasn't that beautiful? His face is all I seek when we look at the face of the Lord. And today, that's what we want to see, the face of the Lord. What does the Lord look like? Does he look like you and me? Does he look like our brother and sister? I think he does. So today, look out in each other's face and say, I see the face of Jesus in you. I hear the voice of Jesus in you. And keep focused. Can we just pray for a little bit? Noel and I are going to be available for prayer. We might just have a little corner here while we're setting up for lunch. There's other people on staff. Vanessa, there's other counsellors here. are the Bible school students, the cabin leaders, anybody who would like prayer, just to clean out the channels, anything that's blocking, any unforgiveness, any bitterness or hurt that you'd like prayer for, to keep focused again on the Lord. Should we just close in prayer? Lord, take our words this morning and use them, Lord, to focus on you. Lord, help us to use this time that we've set aside at this camp to be focused on you, to be refreshed, to be refocused again and again, many times during the camp, Lord, so that when we leave, we are more on fire. We are more passionate. We are more focused on you, Father God. And I pray for my brothers and sisters and myself included, Lord, that your glory would be seen in us for all the world to see. In Jesus' name, amen.